Have you ever watched a student pilot freeze up the moment the moving map goes dark? Not because the airplane is doing anything wrong, the engine's fine, the weather's fine, but the little magenta line disappeared. And suddenly the most capable young aviator you've ever flown with can't tell you where they are. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar today. We're talking about something that doesn't show up on an accident report, but quietly shapes an entire generation of pilots. Navigation anxiety, the very specific fear of not knowing where you are without a screen to tell you. Flying Magazine ran a piece on this, and it got me thinking, because I see it in the pattern, and I see it on cross countries. So, let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's what you need to know. The generation of pilots learning to fly right now grew up with a map in their pocket. Blue dot in the middle, the whole world scrolling underneath it. That's not a criticism. It's just the water they swim in. And when your entire life has taught you that a screen always knows where you are, the idea of navigating without one isn't a skill gap. It's a genuine source of stress. Flying Magazine's reporting frames this as something instructors are increasingly running into. Students who are sharp, motivated, well ahead on the system's knowledge, and who nonetheless go tense the moment you ask them to fold up the tablet and find the airport with their eyeballs and a sectional. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though, because this isn't really about technology being bad. It's about what happens to your brain when your only navigation source fails and you've never built the backup. Let me be clear about the two skills we're talking about, because if you're a student listening, these words might feel abstract until somebody connects them to the airplane. Pilotage is navigating by looking outside. You match what you see on the ground to what you see on the chart. That lake, that highway bending to the northeast, that town with the water tower on the south side, you're reading the earth like a map because it is one dead reckoning is navigating by math and time. You know your heading, you know your ground speed, you know you've been flying for 12 minutes, therefore you are roughly here. No signal required, no satellites, just a heading, a clock, and a little trust in your own numbers. For decades, those two skills were simply how flying worked. Now they're the thing students are most afraid of, and that inversion is worth sitting with for a second. So why does it matter? Why not just let the magenta line do the work? Two reasons, and they're both about the day things go wrong. The first is failure, screens die. Batteries overheat and shut down on a hot ramp. A tablet picks the worst possible moment to reboot. The GPS signal degrades, and yes, that happens more than people think, especially in areas with interference testing going on. When your primary navigation quits, the question is not whether you panic. The question is whether you have somewhere to put your attention that isn't panic. Pilotage and dead reckoning are that somewhere. The second reason is deeper. It's situational awareness itself. A pilot who only follows the line doesn't actually know where they are. They know where the airplane symbol is on a screen. Those are not the same thing. The pilot who's been tracking their position against the ground the whole time, who knows that ridge is to the west and the Class Bravo shelf starts just past that river. That pilot has a mental model of the airspace. The line follower has a dot. This affects you if you're a student pilot right now, and it affects you if you're an instructor. So what do you actually do about it? Flying Magazine's angle is squarely on how CFIs can help learners break the digital habit, and there's real wisdom in how you approach it. You don't rip the tablet out of somebody's hands and call it character building. That doesn't reduce anxiety. It manufactures it, and a scared student learns nothing except that they were right to be scared. Instead, you build the backup skill while the safety net is still there. You keep the tablet in the cockpit, powered on, in your lap as the instructor. And you ask the student to fly the leg by pilotage and dead reckoning. Then you check, you confirm. You let them discover that their heading and their clock actually did put them where they thought. That's the whole trick, really. The anxiety comes from never having tested the skill under real conditions. Confidence comes from watching it work. You plan the cross country the old way, you pick your checkpoints, you compute your headings and your times, and then you go fly it and you find out that the checkpoint shows up right about when the clock said it would. The first time a student sees that town appear on the nose at the predicted minute, something changes in their face. It stops being a leap of faith and starts being a tool. A few practical things, whether you're teaching or learning, pick good checkpoints. Not a single silo in a field of 40 identical silos. Something unmistakable. A bend in a major river. The intersection of two highways, a town with a distinctive shape. Something you cannot confuse for anything else. Fly the clock. Write down your estimated time between checkpoints, and then actually look at the clock when you pass one. If you're early, you've got a tailwind you didn't plan for, and now you know something real about the air you're flying in. That's Dead Reckoning, teaching you about the sky. Look outside more than in. This is the hard one for the screen generation. The chart and the ground are the primary references. The tablet is there to confirm, not to lead. Flip that relationship in training, and you flip it for the rest of their flying life. And here's the thing I want student pilots specifically to hear. Navigation anxiety is not a sign that you're a weak pilot. It's a sign that you learned to fly in a particular era, and there's a skill you haven't built yet. That's all. It's not a character flaw. It's a gap, and gaps close with reps. Every pilot who ever crossed this country before satellites did it with a chart on their knee and a watch on their wrist. Not because they were braver than you, because they'd practiced until the fear turned into routine. You can do exactly the same thing. There's a bigger picture here, too, and I'll flag this as my own read on it. We are training pilots for a cockpit that is more automated every year. That's not going away, and it shouldn't. But automation is a tool that's only as good as the pilot's ability to fly without it when it quits. The magenta line is a wonderful servant and a dangerous master. The goal was never to reject the technology. The goal is to be the kind of pilot who's still flying the airplane confidently in the 60 seconds after the technology stops helping. Break the digital habit early and you don't lose the technology. You gain everything underneath it. My thanks to Flying Magazine for the reporting that got us onto this today. You can find more from us at radiohangar.com. If you're a student pilot sitting with that knot in your stomach about the day, the screen goes dark, go build the skill this week. Fold up the tablet for one leg. Fly the chart and the clock. Watch it work. That knot loosens the first time the checkpoint shows up right where you said it would. This is Tower. Keep your eyes outside.